WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. It's 5 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. Thank God it's Monday. Weekends are long. Had a lot of fun this weekend, though. Even though the weather was a little less than stunning, it was still a very pleasant weekend. I like to call it a family values weekend. You know, and it was a dandy, a beautiful day. You know, it started out like any tribal trip for our little clan. Big old hassle. Because when you live in a family of six, going across the street's a combination of shepherding cats and navigating the children of Israel across Sinai. But it really was a beautiful day yesterday. We started off by not going to church. Had to explain that God wouldn't be mad at us if the preacher didn't get our dollars that day, that time together was well spent, and a goodness in the eyes of God, if not the preacher. So we bolted on down 19 to Beckley. And we cut Mommy some slack for some Mommy time. But the pumpkins and I, we headed off to the Y and the pool. And truth, you know, it's hard to be parental in the shallow end of a swimming pool. All that splashing and fun going on. But in the meantime, in the interim, I'd more or less taught two of my three kids that were with me to swim. And we got started on the third one. And for myself, I'd done a few laps, too, and didn't drown in the process or have a big old coronary. I'm sure that's much to the chagrin of any number of neo-Confederates. But we picked Mommy up from shopping, my lovely wife, and we all had smiles on our faces, and we dropped by a favorite Mexican ristorante where my children worked on their uno, dos, tres, cuatro, etc., and learned 11 to 20 from the waiter. And they beamed. They were so proud. And they worked on their gracias and their danada. And I reveled in it. I really did. It was a wonderful time. And I couldn't help wondering, you know, as we were doing all this, you know, it's so strange because there are Republicans out there who would swear up and down that my family and I, we can't do this because we're not like them. We can't possibly have family values, because we believe that, you know, everyone should have the same rights in the United States under the Constitution. Because we don't believe that just because somebody has a different skin color, you can drop millions of pounds of bombs on them and blow them into the Stone Age. You know, we can't possibly have traditional American family values, whatever the tradition is, whatever the family is. But you know what? Newsflash, you can. And I really get irritated with the Republicans out there who think that they've got some sort of lock on morality when they vote for this pothead. Yeah, he's a pothead. I can call him a pothead. You know why? Because the facts are out there, and it came out of his own filthy mouth that he's a pothead, George Bush is. President Pothead. There he goes. He's calling names again. Well, what the hell is he when he smokes dope? If he's got his nose down over the mirror and he's snorting up that fine white Peruvian flake, what is he but a cokehead? You see what I mean? And his crowd has the family values. Makes me sick. But we had so much fun yesterday, and we were in the in the Mexican restaurant, and I was watching my little children learning to speak a few words of Spanish, and I can mumble my way through the menu. And I got to thinking about that, you know, that dirty little pig that follows me at 10 o'clock every night, Michael the Savage Wiener.
who screams about, you know, I don't, George Bush isn't a real conservative because he hasn't closed the Mexican border.
You know, and this guy's a second-generation American, and he wants to close borders. There is a mindset that thinks if you're not an American, somehow you're human minus one. Not quite human, because you're not a citizen of the United States. And, you know, that clown Wiener leads that crowd. And, you know, I don't hear anybody talking about borders, language, and culture. You know, when the and I was remarking on this to my lovely wife, when that poor, sad sack of stupidity doesn't understand that the borders are the stratosphere of planet Earth. The language is the language of mathematics and science, the universal language. And the culture is the human culture. It's all one culture. Just as there's a, you know, he speaks a dialect of English and I speak a dialect of English. And people in the Low Country of South Carolina speak a dialect of English and people in London speak a dialect of English. These are variations on a common theme. But, of course, the right wing despises the other ones. Because if you can't get rid of the other ones, if you can't attack the other ones, them, they, those, well, you might have to look at your own life and figure out if you're part of the big screw-up. And it doesn't matter what decade it happens in. There's always somebody out there who's willing to point at them, they, those, the others. And it's wrong. Children are children. Men are men, women are women, and every last one of them are human. And yet, the Republicans think that they've got a lock on the traditional American family values when we had such a lovely day yesterday. And as I've said before, many things I might stand in judgment of at the, you know, when if there is a judgment, one of them will not be voting for a Republican. Ever. And it's just contrary to my nature. And the other thing will be finding some group of humans to despise. Because it my God, how wrong is it? You know, the savage Wiener wants to, you know, why do I talk about it? It's not even worthwhile. But what a wonderful day we did have. And meanwhile, I guess we haven't talked much about the young West Virginia man who drowned in a swimming pool full of other human beings. And really healthy Marines at that. Five Marines have been suspended for their actions that day. The sergeant's been suspended. And finally, we probably should talk a little bit about President Doobie Brother.
Hey, Laura, try this. It's real good.
Yeah, he's got family values. But of course, you know what are they doing again? Just as it was with the Dan Rather thing, the disgruntled right isn't attacking the fact that they elected a dope head. They're attacking the fact that somebody let the cat out of the bag that the guy is a dope head. You know, the guy who has his... I say legalize it. I got no problem with it. Again, the problem here is with the hypocrisy. This guy is a raving hypocrite. And, I guess we'll just have to deal with it. Yeah, why should we be surprised? This is the first guy to enter the White House with a criminal record. Okay? It's simple. So we've got that. And we need to talk about this choice point business, too. Need to maybe remember what exactly choice point is. 140,000 people have had their identities ripped off thanks to the ineptitude and negligence of choice point. So there's no scarcity of stuff we can go into. And, of course, requiescat in pace, Dr. Hunter S. Thompson. I read that this morning, about Hunter Thompson dying, and it was like getting punched in the gut. You know, some people have a way of connecting with you, even though you don't know them. And I guess for me, he was one of those people because, you know, what wonderful writing. Dead at 67. Yuck. He will be missed. He cashed his check. Goodbye, Hunter Thompson. But more than anything else, I'd like to get some thoughts on President Doobie. You know, George W. Spleef. George W. Ganja. You know, I mean, this really does put into perspective Tommy Chong going to prison for selling water pipes. Chong's bongs, they were called. And our own president has a past that probably included more dope smoking than Cheech and Chong together ever did. So we got that. All of that. Plenty of that. We got to take our break when we come back. Your phone calls, your thoughts, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When I was in school, I ran with a kid down the street. And I watched him burn himself up on Bourbon's feet. But I was smarter than most, and I could choose. Learn to talk like the man on the 6 o'clock news. When I was 18, Lord, I hit the road. But it really doesn't matter how far I go.
Head On. If you want to go shopping for the same old stuff, go to Walmart. But if you're looking for antiques, crafts, and collectibles, there's only one place to go. Beaver Creek, loaded with fascinating items. And you will believe the buys. Come to the Amish Pantry. Discover the excitement of shopping again at Beaver Creek Antiques, Craft, and Collectibles Mall. Exit 125 Airport Road off I-64. Also, affordable vendor booth space available. Call 254-9835. 254-9835. It's a shopping experience like no other. Beaver Creek Antique, Craft, and Collectibles Mall.
Would you rather have the flu than pay another dollar to your cable company? For less than what you're paying for cable, the DirecTV Total Choice with Local Channels package gets you access to over 125 channels for only $39.99 a month. Just listen to what your neighbors are saying. Excuse me, why did you choose DirecTV?
Simplicity. Cost.
Because of how many channels it has.
With DirecTV, our picture clarity is just so much better than it was.
I am fed up with cable.
Act now and get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free for all new customers with an annual programming commitment. And as always, your standard professional installation is included at $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. As an added bonus, when you get your DirecTV system from American Satellite, you qualify for a free gift. Proof of activation is required. So if you're sick of cable, call now and start saving with DirecTV. Call American Satellite at 1-800-641-0928. That's 1-800-641-0928. Call now.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Such a fine line. I hate to see it go. Cocaine ran all around my brain.
Welcome back. 20 minutes after 7 o'clock. I don't know. Maybe we'll try to just work those drug-oriented theme songs in tonight in honor of President, what? Dollar Bill Nostril? President Coke Spoon? President Hiring a Georgie Pine? But, you know, the sad thing is, Do you remember the absolute screaming hissy fit the right wing had when Bill Clinton said, "Well, yeah, I tried smoking some, but I didn't inhale it. I didn't like it." Remember that? And they screamed, "Hypocrite, liar, we need a $70 million investigation into Bill Clinton smoking the doobie." Remember that? Sure you do. You know what's going to happen? Because I've already seen it.
They're going to say, well, these are things the right wing and especially the morality crowd is going to, well, these are things that George did when he was being an irresponsible young man. And of course, he's changed. He accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. So we don't have to worry about the fact that he was a drug addict and violated all kinds of American laws by smoking that evil marijuana and snorting up that there cocaine. Because Jesus has forgiven him, and we should too. Hypocrites. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, but that's me, I guess. I figure, leave it alone. Let's go to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, your head on.
I am Aeolus, god of the wind.
Exactly.
That's the way I feel today.
Oh.
It has been a weekend, hasn't it?
Up and down. You know, I read the George W. Ganja story, and I said, yeah, I knew it. Yeah. Hunter Thompson cashes his check.
How did he do that?
With a big old gun.
Like Hemingway?
I do believe so. I think it was with a gun, yeah.
I guess Charon the ferryman has been running double shifts lately.
Apparently.
Mm-mm. I was sad to hear that. Now, he wrote the book on Hell's Angels and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and The Great Shark Hunt and the one on the 1992 campaign called Better Than Sex, Confessions of a Political Junkie, which was brilliant.
I've not read some of those. I've read two of them, but not the last three that you mentioned. I need to read those.
Oh, the Great Shark Hunt, covering the 1972. It's the 72 presidential campaign, and it's Watergate and the hunting of Richard Nixon. It's not only brilliant political journalism. It's some of the funniest stuff that's ever been done in the English language.
I see.
And
he was only 57.
67.
67.
Yeah.
Well, that is regrettable.
And apparently the last column, he wrote a column, a regular column for ESPN.go.com called Hey Rube. And his last column had to do with his having invented a new form of golf in which your partner hits his ball and you try to shoot it out of the air with a 12-gauge shotgun. And now he's
dead. What do you, instead of yelling for, you yell pull?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
But, you know, there's something I wanted to, just to get in touch on, just briefly, if I may here.
Do your best.
And it doesn't have to do with George W. Ganja. And, you know, or I think I'm going to start calling him Mr. Natural. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, people get mad at me for referring to him as a pinhead, but Jim, that's an honor for me because I'm thinking of that wonderful comic book character from the 70s, Zippy the Pinhead. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I've seen them all. Yeah. All those old head comics.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Crumb killed himself too. The guy who wrote Mr. Natural.
Right.
They had a documentary on television about him. He went to France and he was there for a year and then. Cashed in his chips too. You know, today is it's Malcolm X's birthday or the anniversary of his assassination.
Yeah, you're right.
I thought he was born in May, but anyway, you know, I remember that man, and as a young man, when he was in his ascendancy, and when he, you know, was killed in New York, he frightened me in a way. But you know, I've since taken another look at him, and he definitely had a contribution to the mainstream of black thought. And, you know, I think he certainly served his purpose in helping to serve as a racial identifier.
Right. And by the time he was killed, it's also worth noting that he had reversed a number of his more violent or antisocial ideas.
Absolutely.
And that was part of the reason he got bumped off.
Exactly, because he had gone against the teachings of the Venerable Elijah Muhammad.
Correct.
And, you know, in honor of the other black writers and things, I mean, can you think of what our literature and what our arts would be like without the black artists who have contributed to them?
Oh, it would be, well, we would still be listening to Dinah Shore records.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's just incredible the contributions these people have made considering the conditions under which they came into this country, I mean, as I said earlier today, they didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on them.
Isn't that the truth?
And, you know, it's, you know, I just think it's meet and right to just simply acknowledge the contributions these people have made and the hardships they've suffered, because I'll tell you, it just wasn't in the South that these people suffered and the prejudice they endured.
It was, oh, God,
much
no.
That stuff is in the North, is in the South.
And you know, February is Black History Month, but and I guess I'm just being unfairly cynical. But, Jim, did it ever dawn on you that while February is Black History, you know, for we chose for Black History Month the shortest month in the year?
No, it never really did, but now that you did, it's interesting, you know, how people can get their digs in, aren't they? And, you know,
we're not going to give them one of those 31-day months, oh, no.
I guess they'd be, I don't know, they'd be too scared of a little too much recognition. But, I mean, you know, when you think of some of the contributors, I mean, today's actors today, honestly and truly, when you consider what's out there, Ben Affleck, J-Lo, and some of the others, and then you compare people like Sidney Poitier and the late Ozzie Davis,
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, Morgan Freeman.
Right.
You know, these people can't hold a candle to them.
Oh, no, no. And Samuel Jackson, Lawrence Fishburne, Ving Rhames.
Exactly.
Don Cheadle.
James Earl Jones.
You know, the, yeah. Who was, I mean, once referred to on this show as James Earl Ray.
I can never let him get to forget that.
Oh, mercy.
He probably said that ad and I'm going to kill him. But, I mean, I don't know. It's just, you know, I think it's something that people around here, because I guess that you don't have many black people around here, you know, they don't think about it maybe as much. I don't know what it is. But having lived in places like D.C. and Baltimore, you know, it's there's a totally different racial presence there. And I'll guarantee you one thing, you are certainly very much aware of it. And, you know, and I can understand that.
Oh, and well, I mean, you know, you grew up where I grew up, and yet yesterday, you know, I was talking about taking my kids to the YMCA and, you know, splashing around the pool with them and stuff like that, and I kind of stepped back from myself, and it was wonderful because there were children in that pool of all manner of races and creeds and whatever, and I just flashed on that filthy Strom Thurmond saying, you know, we won't let them into our swimming pools. We'll close the pools first.
As a matter of fact, I even witnessed a black boy getting in a pool and all the white people getting out. I never forget that. That was just terrible.
Mm.
Well, listen, going back to Mr. Natural, what do you think the deal with that is? I mean, you know, he's obviously going to squirm out of this. He's just going to say, well, you know, he didn't mention it because of... he didn't want to set a bad example for American kids. Well, I mean, does that really hold any water?
No, it doesn't hold any water. You don't want to set a bad example for American kids. You don't start wars with countries that haven't done anything to you and kill 100,000 of their civilians. Now, there's a bad example for America's children.
I agree. And this grand tour that he's making of Europe, I don't think he's going to really accomplish a whole lot over there. Because people might wine and dine him and listen to what he has to say, just to see what other madness might be coming out of his mouth, but that's just about it, you know?
Yeah, him and Laura go back to the suite at night. Why didn't they have none of them little weenies in barbecue sauce? I like them little weenies in barbecue sauce. How's come I got to eat that foie gras?
Oh, you know, when I think of him in Paris dining at the Elysee Palace, I just can't quite picture that. I could with President Mrs. Kennedy, but not with Laura and her husband. For some reason, that just doesn't quite work for me.
Yeah, and them little meatballs in that grape jelly gravy, I love them. Why can't them Frenchies have some of them? Oh God, yeah.
No.
You know, and I'm sitting here, you know, doing this, making this up on the fly. But Jim, I believe it. I can see it because you do know, don't you, Jim, that Laura Pickles Bush has dumped the White House chef who has served two presidents over the course of 11 years because he cooks too fancy.
She did. Is her middle name Pickles?
Nah, that's just one of the some.
Okay.
I don't know.
No problem. I understand.
Bart Cop refers to her as Pickles quite a bit. So
who does?
Bart Cop. BartCop.com.
Oh.
And I picked that up, and it's just sticks.
He don't make no peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Everything's in a crepe. It's confusing.
You know, so hey, stick around for a little bit. We got to hit our break, Jim. But I do want to just go through a little bit more of this with you. You don't care?
No problem. I'll be glad to.
All right, stand by. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. Oh, what are we gonna? The barbarians are past the gates, man. They're in the White House. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Three children who died in that Kanawha County fire have now been identified. Andre Walker lost two of his three children in a fire early yesterday morning on the west side of Charleston. Daughter Addison Neely was 7, son Andre was 4. Charleston police say 7-year-old Nolan Neely survived, but was being treated for severe burns at Shriners Hospital, Cincinnati. Walker was badly burned while attempting to rescue his children. He was taken to a Pittsburgh hospital. Later yesterday morning, 17-month-old Tyler Whitehead died in a South Charleston apartment. Captain Bill Peterson of the South Charleston Fire Department says Tyler's father, mother, and her two older children escaped the fire. Meanwhile, a collision between a South Charleston police cruiser and a fire truck Sunday morning. The fire truck headed toward that fire. That accident has left several people injured. The accident occurred just before noon at the corner of Ford Street and Tennessee Avenue. Both vehicles were traveling toward that South Charleston fire. The police cruiser was coming down Tennessee Avenue the wrong way. When the vehicle came through the intersection, it collided with the South Charleston fire engine. The fire engine flipped on its side. The cruiser spun around and clipped a utility pole. About 15 women spent the night in Sneed's Vacuum and Sewing Center, Charleston, for the retailer's third Friday night sewing lock-in. The first lock-in was last May, after a group of women talked co-owner Regina Sneed into doing it. The participants had from 6 p.m. Friday to 6 a.m. Saturday to work on projects they've meant to finish or new projects they've meant to start. There would be no guilty feelings about not washing dishes, buying groceries, or watching television with a husband. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. This evening, showers, possible thunderstorms. Later tonight, then, a chance of drizzle and rain showers after midnight. Also some fog tonight, too, with a low near 35. And then tomorrow, partly cloudy to mostly cloudy with a high near 50. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
After 2 years of contract negotiations, union workers for Reuters voted 301-4 in favor of striking. The vote by members of the Newspaper Guild of New York gives the union leadership permission to call a strike against the London-based news organization if a contract agreement is not reached. Reuters is seeking to cut pension contributions, increase healthcare costs, and implement a one-year wage freeze. The cuts are already in place for many non-union workers. Employees have also watched while company revenues decline and compensation for top executives continues to rise. No strike date has been set, and negotiations are expected to continue for the time being.
According to the Global March Against Child Labor, one in every six kids in the world between 5 and 17 is now exploited as a worker. Child workers do many different kinds of work, from mining to garment factories, often in horrible conditions. They are often physically and sexually abused. India is home to an estimated 60 million child laborers. More than 40 million work in Africa. Worldwide, the Global March Against Child Labor says there are nearly 250 million child workers. These children are being exploited to slash labor costs, in many cases, for the export market to the U.S. and Europe. Most child workers are in Asia. These child workers are often forced into labor at a time when the International Labor Organization estimates that there are some 886 million adults who are either unemployed or underemployed in the world. Trade unions worldwide are in the forefront of fighting against this blatant exploitation of child labor.
The combined forces of Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux couldn't eke out an overtime goal to stop the NHL 2005 season from ending in a stalemate. A last-minute meeting between players and the league on Saturday failed to save the season, and both sides are blaming each other. The players' union says they went into the meeting expecting to negotiate on the salary cap, but talks broke down when they saw that the league had made additional changes to the contracts. The league insists it was the players who caused the collapse when they were unwilling to come down from a $49 million salary cap. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Economic indicators were released last week suggesting the economy will continue to falter for the coming months. The economy slipped 0.3% in January, consistent with a trend set over the past 5 months. Economists have suggested many reasons for the slip, including spiking energy prices, the decreasing value of the dollar, and a resilience by employers to hire or to increase their inventories.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. 22 and a half minutes before 8 o'clock here in a rainy uptown in Beckley. You don't often hear thunder in February. I mean, I thought it was a sonic boom from a jet going over the house when I heard the thunder this afternoon. Thunder? February? Well, thank God we didn't sign on to that Kyoto Protocol. We might be working on bizarre stuff like rain instead of snow in February. Nah, there's no such thing as global warming. Just listen to that drug addict that comes on from noon to three. He'll tell you. No such thing as global warming. At any rate, let's go back to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I wanted to ask you a question because I got another story here. I know it's you follow DC. Excuse me. You follow DC social trends as well as political. And have you seen the latest outrage from the White House?
No, sir. I haven't. Please tell me.
Dateline London. The Bush administration's attacks on same-sex marriage have now been expanded to include unmarried heterosexuals and divorced people, resulting in a ban on Camilla Parker Bowles from the White House.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
No, sir. No, sir, I'm not kidding. The royal household was told that Camilla, who will have the title Her Royal Highness Princess Consort after Charles becomes king, if he ever becomes king, is not welcome at the White House because she is a divorcee.
Do you mean to tell me that these people are banning her when Nancy Reagan let her decorator and his lover sleep in the Lincoln bedroom?
Ding, 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 ding. Yes, I am.
You know, that's just, you know.
I knew you'd love it, Jim. I just knew you'd love it.
Well, we just love to get each other going. The other night it was, I think, that's the way they were going to pass that bill with a national ID card. So you've got me back on that one. That's for damn sure.
Oh, my.
Oh, Lord in heaven. I mean, well, one thing about it, it'd be just as well that she got rid of the chef because they won't have many people to entertain if they keep imposing all this. You know, they left.
But, you know, doesn't George, isn't there a Doro Bush out there somewhere, a Dorothy Bush?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Isn't she a divorcee?
More than that.
And hasn't she been in the White House?
Oh, I'm sure they've had a regular hoedown in there.
Who is this pothead, Jim? Is this some 11th century pope, or is this the president of the United States? I don't know anymore.
I don't know. I think this was the one that may have gone to Avignon by mistake. Who knows? I don't know.
I mean,
we're going to have what we're going to call the great presidential schism or schism.
The president, according to the Sun, the newspaper in England, told palace aides it was inappropriate for him to play host to the newlyweds. The plan was for Charles to marry Camilla, and for their honeymoon, he was going to take her on an American tour all over the United States. And now,
well, you know, Bob, that's okay. Let him show his true side. Let them see him for what he is. And this was nothing. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad he did it. Because you know why? This is grist for our mill.
Well, yeah, it is. What is he saying? Now that's our house, right, Jim?
That's the people's house, exactly.
Now, what has he just said to roughly half of America? Because
well,
half,
I'll tell
half,
you, I could say it, but I'd be kicked off the program, and you'd probably lose your job.
Yeah, yeah.
But I won't.
Roughly.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Roughly half of American marriages end in divorce.
Of course, yes.
So this man just peed all over half of America. I wonder if divorcees are going to be allowed to take the White House tour.
You know, I don't know. This whole thing makes about as much sense, and I'm going to tie something in with Black history here, too. It's what they did to Josephine Baker.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. And for those of you who don't know Josephine Baker, she was just a poor little black girl who came from St. Louis, Missouri, with not a chance in hell of doing anything. But the only thing she could do is to roll her eyes, and she could dance. My God, could she dance. And she left this country and went to France and took Paris by storm.
Oh.
And then, of course, later on, she was known as a very great singer, and she sang for the troops during the war, was given the Croix de Guerre, made a member of the Legion of Honor. And when she died, you know, of course, she died penniless. She lost her money, and she had her castle. But one thing she did, she wasn't able to have children, but she had her rainbow tribe. And she had a kid from every type of nationality living in that chateau as long as she could support it. And when she was penniless and was thrown out, guess who took her in? Princess Grace.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, there's a good book called The Hungry Heart. And I suggest you read it, and it's her biography. And there's a darn good story on TV that HBO has made it into a special. And, you know, and she was even though she took Paris by storm and was one of the leading entertainers in the world, she wasn't allowed in places like, I guess, Constitution Hall, White House, or even the front door of the hotel where she was staying. And this makes about as much sense as what you just said. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
prejudice.
What a low-rent, redneck mafia. You know,
it's fine because, you know, the sooner he really shows himself up for what he is and becomes a buffoon and a laughingstock, maybe people will realize, hey, we made a mistake and we need to get rid of him.
The trip.
Send him back to wherever he came from.
The trip, which has been planned for 3 years, is off. The whole trip is off.
Now, what do you mean?
Charles and Camilla's trip. It's been 3 years in the planning, and it was being portrayed as a trade mission.
Well, I can imagine that the Queen is definitely not amused.
Off with their heads. You
know? Well, I mean, would they have let Diana, had she lived, would they have let her come to the White House? Even Reagan did, and danced with John Travolta. She wasn't divorced, but I mean, you know. This was before a lot of that was happening, but, I mean, I just can't understand these people who have to sit in judgment on and legislate morality on other people. I just don't understand it. When they themselves are just as immoral, if not more so, and it's compounded by the fact that they're so hypocritical.
It's just astonishing, you know. Do Republicans get divorces, Jim? I don't really know.
Oh Lord, yes.
Okay. What are they going to think of him?
I mean, wedding bells sound like alarm clocks to Newt Gingrich. Jesus, excuse me.
That's all right.
They do.
Oh, yeah. So what? I mean,
and God, if I were a woman, I wouldn't lift my veil for that guy.
Mercy, what are these, you know, the inclination is to say, what are these people thinking? And that's just starting the whole process from a false premise, because it assumes thought. You know, who's, what is this, James Dobson's doing?
Who knows? Who knows? I think all reason is simply taking flight and gone to the South Pole.
Well, I'll tell you, it
you know, where it can be preserved. I don't know. I mean, maybe these people who believe in the apocalypse are right. Maybe this is a true sign of the four horsemen of ignorance, stupidity, lies, and cowardice.
Well, I tell you what,
I can hear their hoofbeats very, very, very well.
Well, you mentioned the rapture artists. I read something, I forget where, but it mentioned that, you know, that you're familiar with these really ignorant, moronic, idiotic Left Behind books.
Oh yeah.
Tim LaHaye and whoever the other clown is, they've made a small country's gross domestic product of a fortune, you know, in selling these to these impressionable poor people, whatever. And you know, they believe in the rapture. It's going to happen. It's, you know, it's going to happen day after tomorrow. And yet, guess what? LaHaye has life insurance policies.
Well, I guess he wants to cover his bets, right?
I guess.
They have a movie. They made a movie a couple of years ago about this, and the people who ascended, it showed nothing but their clothes.
They went naked?
Yeah, and I thought to myself, well, I'm sure as glad that nobody had on dirty underwear if they. and I'm not trying to make fun of anything, but I thought to myself, I said, you know, nobody needs to see a woman's undergarments and a skirt there on the floor. I said, nobody, I mean, that's kind of like watching Dan and Roseanne make love. Nobody needs to watch that.
Yeah, I'm,
I mean, I can see people portraying that, and, you know, that's fine. But do it tastefully. Don't leave a pile of clothes on the floor. that just kind of went, how long?
Yeah, I know.
What was that? You know, I kept thinking out the corner of my eye, and I said, my younger days are catching up with me. But nonetheless, I thought, you know, these people, and it really does scare people a lot, and I don't think that road is meant to be traveled galvanized by fear. It's meant to be traveled galvanized by people who have love and compassion in their hearts, not because they're just scared. Hitler could bring people to kneel with fear and fear alone. There was no love in that man. And I just kind of see, I don't know. It just, these things
it's the same concern. It's the same crowd, Jim, because, you know, again, it is about fear. You know, half of these religious charlatans make their money on fear. They don't make it on the concept of jubilee, you know, the universal forgiveness of debt. They make it on the fear of the burning hell. You know, on Gehenna, on Sheol.
Right.
On these things. Yeah. Yeah. These things that are utter absolute constructs of later clerics who needed to, well, you know, shore up the financial status of the church.
Oh, yeah, they did, absolutely. As a matter of fact, people, I mean, you know, I do believe a guy named John Tessel preached a mighty sermon selling those things called indulgences, which were basically, what, tickets to get out of purgatory?
Yeah, it was the, I mean, what do you think the get-out-of-jail-free cards based on the Monopoly board?
Now, you know, this is a funny thing. I was talking with a lady who was a Roman Catholic, and I'm not disparaging the Roman Catholic Church.
No, no, no.
And she actually told me, and I my cat said to tell you Happy President's Day.
And to her as well.
But she had gone to a seminar, and she told me that because she had completed this weekend seminar, that she did not have to spend any time in purgatory. And I said, well, that's just nice. I said, isn't that nice?
Good luck with all that.
And I all I could say was, well, good luck. Well, I said, you know, isn't that nice? And I thought to myself,
that woman believes that.
Well, I mean, you know, to each his own, but I thought, you know, it's just incredible. I thought to myself, you know, I've got some a bridge over and across the Verrazano Narrows I'd like you to be interested to take a look at.
Oh, without a doubt.
But, I mean, you know, it's just incredible how they can force some of this stuff on people, and they just gobble it, you know, just like pablum.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know. I wish that they would accept other things about people and humanity and the true teachings of the church, as well as they do some of this extra stuff that's been thrown in. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jim. Hey,
well,
Jim,
I enjoyed it, Bob.
I have too. I appreciate it.
And tell
the cat I said hello.
Beg your pardon. I will. But like I say, you know, the thing about Josephine Baker, that has always touched my heart.
Oh yeah,
if I were to continue to name the marvelous the black entertainers and writers and poets and physicians and things who made such contributions.
Well, they
soldiers as well.
They came in and handcuffed Billie Holiday to the bed as she lay dying.
That should not have happened to that poor woman. And, you know, but they have done an awful lot. They've come an awful long way since they came on the bottom of ships into slavery through Jim Crow and then into the modern day types of persecution and prejudice. And they still have an awful long way to go. And, you know, having just seen the thing about Josephine Baker and Malcolm X, it made me realize, you know, how they must have felt, or I tried to imagine. I mean, I am a white male. How could I have imagined how these two people could have really felt in their hearts? And I really couldn't answer that question accurately, Bob.
I know. But, you know, the fact that you're willing to try speaks well of you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
There's a whole lot of people that don't even want to make the attempt.
Well, I guess it's part of consciousness. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's part of being an active participant in your life as opposed to being along for the ride. It's part of understanding that there's no dress rehearsal. This is it.
You are probably correct there. You probably are.
Well, thanks, Jim. I do appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Always.
Have a great evening. Bye now.
God bless.
All right. You know, so much of this stuff makes perfectly good sense now. You know, now that we know that we've got a burnout in the White House, it makes absolutely beautiful sense. You know.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's invade Iraq.
That'd be a great idea. Let's invade Iraq.
Yeah. And while we're at it, that surplus, let's give that away to our buddies.
It all makes perfect sense now, doesn't it? Everything's come together.
You know, Laura, we can't be letting that Camilla Parker Bowles here into the White House. She's a divorcee. What would Reverend Dobson think? Oh, that's good.
It all makes perfect sense.
I think we ought to privatize Social Security. Wow. Rush.
It all makes perfect sense. How else can you explain it? This guy has torched his brain. And our children are dying for it. Our children are dying because the moral values bunch put a burnout in the White House.
Hey, let's give all our best friends big old tax cuts. Hey, let's kill Amtrak.
On and on and on and on.
What do you say? I tell them I want to run America like a business, like Enron. That's a great idea.
On and on and on and on. It all makes sense. I'm not so sure they've quit smoking dope. I'm not so sure at all. That's how you come up with Social Security privatization. That's how you come up with the Iraq War. That's how you come up with these ridiculous tax cuts. These people are hiring a Georgia Pine. Do you understand? I mean, really, really high. Ever before, we didn't let our presidents go driving around simply as a matter of courtesy and protocol. Now there's a really damn good reason for not letting George Bush behind the wheel. He's whacked. He's stoned. Dude, this is so good.
Let's go kill us some Arabs.
You get it? You know, and for the little right wing nuts that listen, you're gonna give him a pass, aren't you? You're absolutely gonna give him a pass. You gave Bill Clinton hell, but you're gonna give this dope head a pass. I can't. It's already out there. It's already out there. The number of people, the right wingers, and the religious types. You know, I can't wait to hear that pig Dobson weigh in on this one. These guys just slay me. I'll tell you what, we'll go to your phone calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967, when we come back from our top of the hour news break. That I promise. This is News Talk 620, WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 8 o'clock.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
It all makes sense now. Did you hear? For those of you listening on the internet, I apologize, but there was a sound bite from George W. Ganja on the CBS News. He's on his whirlwind tour of old Europe, and they had a sound bite of him saying,
"This is my first dinner since I was reelected on French soil."
He even talks like a burnout. What? This is President Spicoli. Come on, my generation. You know you watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You remember the Jeff Spicoli character on the phone taking his Vans tennis sneaker off and whacking himself in the side of the head. Dude, I'm so wasted. He's a burnout. It's not that he can't read. It's not that he's dyslexic. He wasn't dropped on his head at birth. He smoked too much damn dope and snorted too much coke. I don't want to fry
anybody's ears or the microphone or anything. Otherwise, I'd let loose with one of those great old Sam Kinison screams. I mean, we got a stoner in the White House. Let's go back to the phones. Ben has been waiting, and I appreciate it. Hey, Ben, how's life in Illinois?
Oh, it's fine here. It's a typical February here. It's gray, it's cloudy, it's about 30 degrees, and it alternately rains and snows.
There's a reason. It's the shortest month of the year.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I think I can. I've got a theory that ties together a few things.
Oh, good.
Have happened recently, and it's a little bit of a stretch, but I don't think much.
We'll share it.
Well, first of all, something you don't know. I have a source, a person I know. She has a PhD. She's very reliable. Who had dinner with George Bush? Actually, George, like one of the many people there, about a year and a half ago. And she reports to me that at that time he was still drinking hard liquor.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Do you remember when he went to St. Petersburg for the
yep.
summit with Putin?
Yep.
And it was live. I'm a night creature. And I happened to be up watching it. And, you know, it was a typical visit to a Russian palace. It was, you know, a shot of vodka every other syllable.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that wasn't ice water in his glass.
I am certain it wasn't either. So we have him drinking. Now, he lied then to the American people, you know, and it's not the drinking, it's the lying about the drinking.
Yeah, because it wasn't the oral sex with Monica Lewinsky, it was the lying about the oral sex with Monica Lewinsky, right?
Correct. So he lied to the American people about drinking, and you know, I think we can both we both have evidence to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we believe he's lying about the drugs? Well, you know, the problem is when you're president of the United States, it's really hard to find a connection.
Oh, but man, what comes over from Cambodia in the diplomatic pouch?
Well, yeah, but even that might be hard for you to get as president without compromising your position. But, you know, you and I both know that hookers are often go-to people for drugs.
Oh, my God.
You know, and so I'm wondering here we've got Mr. Jeff Gannon, James Gucker, you know, Jim Gump, whatever his name is.
Jimmy Jeff Gucky Gann.
Yeah, whatever his real name actually is, and there are people still trying to find a birth certificate for him and haven't yet. Whatever his actual name is, we know he was a hooker.
Yeah.
We know he had really hinky access to the White House, in which he never got a hard pass. He was given a temporary day pass every day he showed up there.
Hey, Ben, this is family radio, man. Don't say hard pass.
Oh, sorry. and we also know that he was invited to not one, but two Christmas parties at the White House.
Oh, yeah, and then there's the Christmas party in Leesburg.
Yeah. Now, tell me that... Did the president buy marijuana, or was he given marijuana by this hooker that was brought into the White House? Did he smoke dope with Jeff Gannon? And if so, just how intimate was their relationship? And if this did go down that way, is it a national security problem? I mean to say, could a foreign nation use this information to get the President of the United States to, cozy up to what they want in a foreign policy point of view?
Yeah, do its bidding.
Precisely.
Maybe think, like the Saudis.
Yes, or like the Chinese.
Oh, yes, that would be inscrutable.
Now, what I'm thinking is that this has now compromised this president past his ability to be an effective leader for this country, and he needs to resign now.
Yes.
And I mean this in the most serious of terms. This
I know.
Has pushed him past the bar. He is no longer an effective president of this United States, and he needs to go now. It is time for him to leave.
Even if we have to deal with President Cheney.
Even if we have to deal with President Cheney or, God forbid, President Hastert.
Ooh.
Oh,
yeah, he comes from your neck of the woods. You probably know a good bit about him.
He certainly does. He is my Congress critter.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Oh.
No, so I think you can appreciate every time I write Congress what kind of letter I get back.
Oh, it's got to be a doozy.
It usually is, and it's usually completely saying, well, thank you for your viewpoint on this, but I differ completely.
Yeah. And would you please die?
Well, he doesn't say that. He always sends me a fundraising letter every year.
Oh, there's no shame in this bunch.
There's no shame at all.
But you're right. He should resign. You know, we've been dealing with President Cheney all along. And even Nixon had the decency to realize that there comes a point where you are beyond the pale.
He's beyond the pale now. I would much rather deal with President Cheney, at least, than we are honestly dealing with the man who's been running things all along.
Yeah. And there's only one thing missing here, Ben.
Hmm.
What, you know, what pushed Nixon to the breaking point was when, who was it, Howard Baker?
Yes.
Went to him and said, Mr. President, we can't defend you anymore.
Well, I think that when everybody realizes that the president is has been smoking a pipe, if you will, with a gay hooker in the White House.
The moral values bunch is going to come all kinds of unglued.
Yeah, and I think we can pretty much establish that something really hinky went on there at this time, and I think there's just far too much suspicion. Now, the other thing I would say is, you know, I grew up in a tavern. It was our family business.
Mm-hmm.
And I have observed a lot of drinkers for many years. I mean, I've observed alcoholism from young man through old man, and I know exactly what it looks like.
Okay.
George Bush not only is drinking, but I believe he has got a problem which is called Korsakoff syndrome.
Korsakoff syndrome.
It is a degenerative brain disease. In fact, the degeneration doesn't stop when you stop drinking once it gets past a certain point. It causes you to slur your speech, to use the same word over and over again, even when it's not terribly appropriate, to have problems with short-term memory, and to find humor in things that nobody else seems to think is funny.
You just described it.
I really believe the man may have Korsakoff syndrome. He is really medically incapable of holding his office.
Well, who then, Ben, allows this to continue?
You know, the president, don't think that the president is the man in charge. You know, remember when Newt Gingrich had to step down?
Yeah.
Well, you know, some guys in very good suits whose names you and I don't really hear very often are the ones that went to Newt Gingrich and said, it's time for you to go, Newt. Those are the guys that are really running the GOP. They're not anybody that's elected to office. They're the guys that actually have the power.
The shadow government.
And those are the people that they're going to keep George Bush up there as a figurehead until he can no longer put a sentence together. They're close to that now.
I believe that they are. And, you know, like I said, you're not in a position where you could hear our top of the hour news. But, you know, all you got to do is, you know, go.
Actually, on hold, I can.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you did hear that.
Yep.
Yeah.
The thing to understand is I'm beginning to wonder if, in fact, those people aren't working their corruption on him right now. And that is to say, is the Gannon thing, is the pot story, are both of those things put out there by those folks so that they then have the excuse to get George out of there and put Cheney in for the remainder of the 4 years?
Because he's got the second term, and what? He's outlived his usefulness?
He's outlived his usefulness.
So now they've got the bit in their teeth, and they can really run with it if they don't have him out there stumbling over his lines and engaging in these, you know, these verbal gaffes. And, that's terrifying, Ben.
I would look for at least one more major scandal in the next 2 weeks, followed by a concerted move on the part of the religious right to get him to withdraw.
Well, we may be on the cusp of something, Ben. We may very well be, because you can't just breezily ignore this. Although God knows the Johnny on the spot media has certainly done everything in their power to do so. I mean, I saw this. What's his name? The guy with the tapes, Weed.
Yep.
I saw him interviewed on CNN, and he was like a seal in the circus balancing a beach ball on its nose. I mean, he was weaving and bobbing to keep that thing up there. You know, I'm always going to consider myself friendly to Mr. Bush, and I don't think there's any harm in me telling people this, because, you know, this is the way he was. It's not the way he is now. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm just waiting for somebody to ask him, you know, okay, that's great. Now drill him. Ask the follow-up question. Nope, sorry. You know, they what? I saw this story come out on Friday, Saturday, maybe.
Well, you know, they have to do this in a way where they don't kill the messenger, because the messenger may be somebody actually on their side.
Yeah, true.
So they have to get an accumulation of things out there such that when Brutus has to step up and do his job, no.
Figuratively speaking.
Yes.
Yes. Well, any guesses, Ben, on what the next scandal is?
I wish I could outthink these people, but I've been trying to do it for the last 7 or 8 years, and I haven't succeeded yet.
Yeah, these are the real Bobby Fischers out there. They're 8-10 moves ahead.
Yeah, precisely.
I wonder if it's something that goes down on this Europe trip.
It could very well be that he says something or offends somebody in some way that makes things very untenable.
And of course, I don't know. You know, this business about not allowing Camilla to come to the White House.
That's pretty close. That is an insult to the crown.
It's an insult to divorced Americans.
Well, they don't care about us.
Well, that's true.
This crowd hasn't cared about us ever. That's obvious from everything they do and everything they say. However, offending the British crown, that may be something that they can't survive.
Well, this is I couldn't believe it because in fact I ran over you're familiar with Snopes.com.
Yep.
I ran over and Snopes this thing before I printed it because this was so silly it looked like something coming off the Onion.
Doesn't it? The trouble with writing parody now is that the parodies very often sound so close to what actually occurs that they're robbed of their force.
Yeah, you can't make this stuff up.
Literally.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the whole world seems like it's being written by a bad writer right now.
And, this story in particular, it's about Camilla coming to the White House because she's a divorcee, but they didn't object. And this may go to your argument about not offending the crown. This was all about Camilla being a divorcee. They didn't say a word about the fact that Charles is, too.
Oh, yeah. Although it may have been made right when Diana died. Remember, the ones who think that you're married for life, if you get a divorce, you can't then remarry. However, if the spouse you got a divorce from then dies, you can then remarry.
Oh, God, I despise
it. It's the way it works. It's basic canon law.
Yeah, it is. Then Jim, our previous caller, was right. Nancy Reagan's decorator, who was gay, got it on the Lincoln bedroom with his lover.
Yep.
And here's the crown prince.
Yep.
Who gets married? He's going to be married when they're there.
Yes.
And
the crown prince and somebody who will be head of the Anglican Church.
Oddly enough, yes. I could almost buy this story, Ben, if George and Laura were Roman Catholic. They're very, very forceful about their position on divorce. These are Methodists.
Yep. Yep.
Did I miss something? I mean, my grandmother was a Methodist.
The Methodists have disowned him long ago.
Well, that's true. I mean, he's really more Southern Baptist. And the thing I don't know, is this a Southern Baptist thing? You know, divorcees not welcome.
They weren't in terribly good odor with my paternal grandmother, that's for sure, and she was a Southern Baptist.
Well, maybe that's where it comes from. Focus on the family, Reverend Dobson. Maybe it comes from there.
I'm just waiting for whatever closet he's in to be to be pulled open.
The dead girl or the live boy.
There's something there because he just isn't right.
No. And neither is Benny Hinn, and neither is Jerry Falwell, and neither is Pat Robertson, and these Coral Snake Ministries. They're one of my favorites. There's something sublimely creepy about every last one of them.
Well, you know, I can handle a live coral snake, too, if you're refrigerated overnight.
You're right.
And that's just what they do.
Really?
Yeah, those snakes come out of a little igloo cooler up there.
Well, of course, yes, yes, of course. You know, that's one of the beauties of this show, Ben. The stuff I get to learn. And that's absolutely right.
Now, the problem they have is on a really hot summer day in an unair-conditioned, Baptist snake handling church, even with the windows open, that snake warms up pretty quick.
And gets pretty angry pretty quick.
Yeah, it gets pretty angry. And so, they have to be very careful about that. And sometimes you'll see them changing snakes frequently.
What do they do about the strychnine?
Well, if you dilute it far enough, it's actually homeopathic medicine. Homeopathy, a lot of poisonous stuff that has been diluted a thousand times.
Arsenic, antimony, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be strychnine. Might have, three atoms of strychnine in a liter of water.
Praise Jesus.
Yeah.
Ben, I appreciate it. Thanks
so
much.
Take care, sir.
Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
And thanks for everything you bring to the show. That theory ties it together pretty well, doesn't it? Gay hooker, and he's right, great access to great drugs. Doesn't have to come over in the diplomatic pouch. And the stumbling and the bumbling. Now, consider that sentence. This is my first dinner since I was reelected. The poor man's starving. At least he got French food. This is my first dinner since I got reelected on French soil. Wow. That's mind-boggling. He got reelected on French soil. And it's his first first dinner on French soil. And it's his first dinner. And he's still drinking. Now, what do you say about him? He's still drinking. You're not going to convince me that he was sitting there over a plate of beef with Bordelaise sauce, as was reported. And there was not a little bit of the finest French grape in a glass there, too. What's the right wing going to say when they find out that their holier-than-thou president is drunker than Adam's off ox? What are they going to say? Tell you what, let's take a quick little break, and we'll come back and... I'm getting mental telepathy from the lovely and talented Taylor Sky. Don't take a break, Bob. Don't take a break. Okay, I won't. It all makes so much sense. It makes perfectly good sense, doesn't it? But what I want to know is, what does the right wing think now that they know they've got a junkie for a president? Well, what do they care? They listen to a junkie for 3 hours every day and think that that's truth. It's not about the drugs. It's about the lying. Seems to make a little bit of sense to me. I don't know about you, but it makes who am I kidding? It makes a lot of sense to me. All right, bottom of the hour break time. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So we do a little news update from Carl Mack, then we do the Jim Hightower commentary for the day, and then we come back and your phone calls at 252-6200, or outside Beckley, 800-620-WWNR. Curiously enough, 9967 on your keypad. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. 3 Raleigh County men have been sentenced in U.S. District Court on drug charges. Larry Rodney Green of Midway, Kenneth James Meter of Mabscott, and Rodney Wayne Webb of MacArthur had entered guilty pleas to conspiracy to manufacture methamphetamine. The three admitted they participated in a plan to make meth at Webb's residence. In November of 2003,
Green was sentenced to a year in prison. Meador and Webb each sentenced to 46 months. The Trident Drug Enforcement Network conducted the investigation. A Raleigh County judge has denied a retrial for a Crab Orchard man convicted of killing his 5-year-old son. Circuit Judge H.L. Kirkpatrick also denied a second motion for acquittal of Garth Lester III. The elder Lester was convicted in August of shooting his son Garth after an argument with his girlfriend at their home in Crab Orchard. 6 months after two camp counselors were murdered in their sleeping bags, investigators are still stumped. And that's left family members of Jason Allen and Lindsay Cutshaw anguished and wondering what went wrong in August this past summer along that rugged coastline. The 26-year-old Allen and 23-year-old Cutshaw were to be married in September in Ohio. They had been working in the summer at the Christian camp in the Sierra Nevada foothills when they headed to the coast for a weekend getaway. West Virginia's legislators are 1/6 of the way through their 60-day session, but they've only received 3 bills from Governor Manchin. And that's a departure from the style of Manchin's predecessor, Bob Wise, who used to hand lawmakers his entire legislative list on opening night. But legislators appear more interested in Manchin's keep-them-in-the-loop style than in the number of bills he introduced in their first 10 days. Lawmakers say they welcome Manchin's habit of frequently phoning them and bringing them together for meetings. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. For this evening, chance of showers, possibly even some thunderstorms this evening. Then a chance of drizzle and a slight chance of showers after midnight tonight. Then fog develops late in the night with a low near 35. And then for Tuesday, cloudy, not quite so warm with a high near 50. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks to all the United Way volunteers for the assistance they provided during the United Way 2004 campaign. Without them, we would not be able to provide the support necessary for our 20 nonprofit agencies that help those who are unable to help themselves. Due to the time spent by volunteers attending meetings, making presentations, making phone calls, asking for contributions, helping with the planning and staging of campaign events, taking time from a busy schedule to film or record a TV or radio spot, and numerous other activities, we have had a successful campaign. Without the time and effort provided by these caring individuals in Raleigh, Nicholas, Fayette, and Summers counties, this would not have been possible. Thumbs up, hats off, and thanks. Because of you, the United Way of Southern West Virginia continues to make a lasting impression on our community. If you would like to be a United Way volunteer, please contact me at 253-2111.
That kicked it this class, and it hangs on the rim, and the Cougars are on a roll. His 6-3-pointer of the game, and this one from 11 feet beyond the arc. The Cougars are national champions.
This is our town, this is our team. It's Mountain State University Cougar basketball, and you can follow all the exciting action on Power Country 105.9 WTNJ. The 2004 NAIA Division I National Champs are looking to go right back. Don't miss a game, home or away. This is Paul Lanscott inviting you to join me for all the exciting action this year of Mountain State University Cougar basketball on 105.9 WTNJ.
WWNR Beckley.
Well, it's finally come to this. Bush and company have now been caught in so many covert campaigns to propagandize we the people, using our own tax dollars for the brainwashing, that Congress is having to pass a law to stop them. The revelations just keep coming. There are the fake video news releases that have been put out by various government agencies to hype everything from Bush's Medicare prescription boondoggle to his failed drug program. These are fabricated news reports using actors posing as reporters on stories that praise Bush and his policies. These propaganda pieces are aired as legitimate news on hundreds of stations, with no mention that the government produced and paid for them. Then there's Payola-gate. To flack some of Georgia's social schemes, various agencies have stooped to government-funded journalism. Literally paying right-wing columnists and commentators to do glowing pieces about Bush's policies. Armstrong Williams was paid to wax joyous about the No Child Left Behind law. Maggie Gallagher got a government grant to hustle the Healthy Marriage Initiative. And now we learn that Michael McManus also was on the government payroll while writing golden reviews of the marriage program in his column, which ironically is titled Ethics and Religion. None of these right-wing pontificators disclosed that they were paid participants in the Bush propaganda mill. There's also the communication directive by Bush's top Social Security officials requiring the agency's employees to promote Georgia's scaremongering that the retirement program faces imminent financial collapse, which it doesn't. And don't even get me started about the Bush-out shameless war propaganda. This is Jim Hightower saying, as one Senate aide put it, it's not enough to say, please don't do it anymore. We must pass the Federal Propaganda Prohibition Act. To help, call the Committee on Government Reform, 202-225-5074.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. About 25 minutes before 9 o'clock. And a quick reminder to my friends in Fayette County. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, in the chambers, courtroom of Circuit Judge Charles Vickers in the Courthouse Annex Building in Fayetteville, the public hearing regarding the great big land development along the Canyon Rim out Gatewood Road. If you care about what happens, you'd best be there, because Land Resources Company will darn sure have people there, and there will be people who stand up and say, but we need the jobs. So, you know, it's an opportunity to be a citizen. Go and make your voice heard. Pretty simple, huh? All right, back to the phones. Jeff's with us. Hey, Jeff, you're head on.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
Doing great. Yourself?
Fine. You think Ed would care if I went over to that thing over there? Me and Tom from Raleigh County, and it's just kind of concerning Fayette County people.
Well, I don't know that there's a membership requirement or anything. I don't think you have to know the lodge high sign or anything.
According to him, there is, because he said that everybody in Raleigh County needs to just mind their own business.
Well, if it's a Fayette County problem, it's a Fayette County problem, and I think Fayette Countyans should be heard first.
Well, do you think that they should have told the Raleigh County judge that blocked the Walmart being built? You Raleigh County judges need to mind your own business, too.
No, because the Fayette County judges would have been more than happy to hear it, but they were ethically not allowed to do so because they both had family on the city council.
Well, I thought maybe...
I mean, it wouldn't have been any different if it had been a Raleigh County judge or a Kanawha County judge, Mingo, Logan, you know, pick one.
But if Ed calls in and asks him if he'd care if anybody from Raleigh County came to it.
Okay, or, yeah, he may be listening now, and we'll be more than happy to give you an answer.
Talking about the tape, you're going to probably go through the roof when I tell you this, but he's going to get a boost from that tape.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I think you're absolutely right.
There's nothing there.
No, nothing there except, you know, the fact that he's a junkie, but, you know, nothing else.
There's nothing there because everybody in the United States is going to look at themselves and say eight or nine out of ten of them are going to go, well, I guess just about everybody's done it.
Right. It's again, you may have missed the point, Jeff. It's not about doing the drugs. It's about the lying.
He hasn't lied. When has he ever denied it?
When has he ever answered it? He refused.
Not answering and lying is two different things.
You don't know what a sin of omission is then, do you, Jeff?
You know, and the difference between this and the Clinton tapes is nobody's on there conspiring to obstruct justice and telling people to lie.
And who was what, huh?
Nobody was on the tapes talking about trying to get people to lie.
Okay. And who?
There's Clinton tapes with Tripp in them that they're all talking about lying and covering stuff up.
You mean where Linda Tripp is talking to Monica?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and that, but, you know, Bush, if anything, it's going to help him, because when they're talking about homosexuals, he says, look, I'm not going to discriminate against homosexuals.
No, he said, I'm not going to fire them.
Yeah.
He didn't say he wasn't going to discriminate against
them. Well, he said he's not going to mistreat them, and, you know, and he didn't know that that was being taped.
And that turns out to be a lie, too, of course, because that's exactly what he wants to do with his little constitutional amendment.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's discrimination, Jeff. That's telling one group of Americans that they don't have the same rights as the rest of them.
But if, you know, he was a hard-hearted, mean-spirited person, there'd be all kinds of stuff on them tapes, and it's not there.
Well, we don't know what's there because we don't have them in our possession. The only thing that was allowed to be heard was what the fellow who made the tapes permitted the New York Times to hear.
Oh, well, if there was anything more than that.
No, because this guy says he did it because he's a friend of Bush.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, and if it doesn't make no sense, it's probably a lie.
And it's part of a book he wrote about presidential childhoods.
But, you know, next time they do an approval rating, it'll be higher than it was this weekend.
Well, that wouldn't take much.
Yeah, I don't understand where people get this trying to come up with some kind of a disease that he's got either. If anybody's got the speech problem, it's Ted Kennedy. He's the one calling Barack Obama Osama Obama and Osama Obama Barack Osama Obama. You know, it's Ted Kennedy. And
you just really haven't heard George Bush speak very often.
I listened to his speech from Belgium this morning. It was classic. It was perfect. There's nothing the matter with the man.
Okay, so there's nothing the matter with this sentence. This is my first dinner since I was reelected in France.
Look.
That's perfectly clear, right?
When you are talking to hundreds of people all day long, every day, you're going to slip up a little bit. He's not a professional speaker, and he'll be the first one to admit it.
No, he's just the President of the United States, and he's putting us all to shame. That's all.
You know, and it kills the liberals that the Iraq thing is going to work.
It is. It's going to work.
It's what Hillary Clinton
said. It's going to work. Hey, everybody, did you hear, Jeff? The Iraq thing's going to work with 100,000 dead civilians and 1,500 dead Americans, and Ahmed Chalabi as prime minister. That's great.
Well, it's what your Democratic front runner for president said from her little trip back over there. She was impressed and surprised.
And that's one reason I will never vote for her.
Well, what if it's her and John McCain?
I'll take a powder.
You'll just not vote?
As God is my witness, I'll write in my own name.
Well, that's fine.
Mickey Mouse. I'll write in Dennis Kucinich.
But you know that.
But I'm not going to vote for another lukewarm Democrat.
Anybody who wants a serious shot at the president for the Democrats cannot come out and slam that war. They can't do it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jeff. They are scared to death when it's the one moral thing to do.
No, it's not. We're doing the right thing. You know, was it right when we went into Bosnia?
I opposed that.
Well, it's really a disgrace. It's an embarrassment.
And I opposed the indiscriminate bombing of Kosovo.
The EU is embarrassed right now because they formed this group, this body over there, to stop things like that and to do stuff and to protect each other. And right in the middle of where Hitler killed 6 million people, they had the same thing, not to that scale, going on again. And they were just going to sit there and do nothing about it. And we had to go over there in their own backyard and take care of it.
This is one of the better pieces of historical revisionism I've heard in a while, Jeff. We went to Bosnia all by ourselves, just like we went to Iraq, right?
What's the breakdown of the troops in Bosnia?
I know there are English. I know there are French. I know there are Germans. It's a NATO operation.
But the EU couldn't get her done, could it?
The EU was part and parcel of getting it done.
No, it wasn't. It was NATO. The EU doesn't have a first man with a hat on.
And the EU has nations that are members of
NATO.
Thank you.
But we're the muscle behind that. And, you know, and they're over there because the French and the Germans realize how wrong they were. And they realize that
No, they're over there because every time something rotten happens in the Balkans, there winds up being trenches in France, Jeff.
Why is that? Because France doesn't have the backbone to stand up and stop anybody from doing anything.
They cower in fear. Jeff, I'm really glad that no Frenchman is hearing you right now.
I really care.
Because they fought like dogs in the First World War. They stopped the German advance on the outskirts of Paris with the taxi cab army when the taxis of Paris were commandeered to carry troops to the front, and Marshal Foch said, I have them in my rear, I have them in my front, I have them on all flanks, j'attaque, I attack.
Well, how come didn't they stop them before they got to Paris?
Because the Germans are pretty good at putting that whole army thing together. Now, if you want to really learn something about why things happen in Europe the way they do, I encourage you to read Barbara Tuchman's The Guns of August. It's a brilliant piece of writing. It's very easy to read. It's very enjoyable to read. And you might learn just a little bit about why, when things go boom in the Balkans, everything goes to hell all over France, or all over Europe.
Well, how come when things went boom the last time when we went in there under Clinton, things didn't go kaboom?
Well, for starters, because the European nations, as well as us, understood, you know, that we did have people in the White House who understood that, you know, letting little brush fires turn into big forest fires in the Balkans is not a good idea.
And if we wouldn't have done that with NATO, it wouldn't have got done.
And you do understand, of course, what happened in 1914 in Sarajevo, don't you?
The assassination?
Of the Archduke.
Right.
Right. That's what started the whole mess.
Mm-hmm.
That's what brought Austria-Hungary in. When Austria-Hungary came in, Germany had to come in. When Germany went in, because of the pacts that they had, the French had to come in. The Belgians, blah de da de da de da. And the next thing you know, you got a world war on your hands.
Did you see the picture in the paper on page like 9 or 10A, the picture of the protesters in the Beckley paper?
No.
Nation and World?
No.
You got the paper with you in there?
No, I don't.
There's a picture there that's got the protesters protesting Bush. That's all they know how to do.
Maybe they're moral people, Jeff. I despise it when you do things like that.
Maybe
they're moral people who object to wholesale murder.
It's got a bunch of signs that they're holding up with a missile pointed down. And it's got, like, Panama, 1989, Libya, 86, Vietnam, 61-73, Grenada, 83, Laos, Afghanistan, Sudan, Korea, Guatemala. You know, it's got Cuba. It's got all of our military engagements in the dates, the years that we were involved in them, wrote down on each sign, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like in a chronological thing. But the funniest thing, there's one strangely absent.
What?
Germany, 42-45.
Yeah, because we didn't start that one.
Well, you know, if they're going to protest us, they need to, they're not holding the one up that saved their bacon. You know,
I know, because no Europeans fought in World War II. Jeff, you got to learn some history sometime, brother. And I've got Ed waiting, so let's hear his response. Take care, Jeff. Ed, you're head on.
Now, Bob, how you doing?
Doing great. Yourself?
I just want to respond to Jeff. You know, we haven't had a know-it-all like him over here before. You know, those people from Raleigh County in his category is so intelligent. We really need them at the courthouse. Maybe they can give the directions which way to go in this thing, you know, if we need it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to respond to him and tell him it's a free country. Just, you know, don't walk too wide.
Yeah.
So,
are you going tomorrow, Ed?
Oh, yeah, we'll be there.
You expect good numbers?
I don't know. I know there's some going to be there if they don't forget it, because this notice was sent out a couple weeks ago. And at that time of the day, there is, you know, people are still working. One guy works at that his land is adjacent to mine, too, and hooks on to this Park Service out here. But I don't even know where that is now, really. You know, I've heard everything. I heard in the news that they're talking a different location for this stuff now. And that suits me. Or if, you know, a new road is has put in and they don't jam those houses right up against us.
Well, there will be a buffer zone, I'm sure, because, I mean, these are $600,000 homes, right, Ed?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not going to put them just right next to each other.
Yeah. Well, I would hope if it goes that way, but I don't think there's nothing sewed up on it yet, is there?
No. No, there's that's one of the problems. We know very little of what they actually intend to do. Yeah. We don't know who they're going to build the homes with.
Yeah. Well, maybe Jeff can help them. You reckon? He seems smart. Tell him to bring his contractor's license and his survey and stuff. Then we need all the help we can get over here from Raleigh County. They know it all.
Well, the thing is here, I welcome the. It's in the middle of a national park, Ed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to that extent, I think a lot of people do have a vested interest in it. You know, you're the one living on top of it, so I think your opinion probably holds more water than somebody who lives, you know, 50 miles away from it.
Well, opinions ain't bad, even though a lot of them are like your rear end.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them just stink worse than the others. So, you know, we want to keep that in mind. But since we do live with what's supposedly going to take place or might take place, but I don't want to have any real hard feelings over any of it until we see what's going to happen. I don't want to draw the line in the sand, so to speak.
Right, and, you know, I suppose it's possible to do this in an environmentally friendly way. I suppose it's possible to do it in a manner which won't ruin the gorge for the people who come down it in the tourist business. But, you know, these guys, this land resource company or whatever they're called, I was reading over the weekend, they built a gated community down in Florida somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Along the intercoastal waterway, and everybody who lives there just loves it. But yeah. the people who live around it aren't so crazy about it.
Yeah. Well, the other part is, you know, is to find out what kind of timbering is going to be done, and because you've got two towns that run parallel to this park down over the hill, and if they strip these trees and stuff out of here, they're going to be in a continual flood situation, just like Minden and some of these other places is being.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that. But I guess that's part of what the meeting's for tomorrow, is to find out just exactly what they got in mind.
Well, I was a little disturbed when I saw that it was set for 3:00, because that lets a lot of people out of being able to attend it who have to be at work.
Yeah, well, one of the main guys that works over at Georgia Pacific is going to be there, and his land is right with mine, and we both are right up on the border of it. So,
well, what communities are down below it, Ed?
A town called Brooklyn and Kennard, and the rafting and all goes through there right now.
Well, you know, it bothers me, you know, if somebody goes to the trouble, Ed, to travel 8, 10, 12, 14, 20 hours to get here and go down our river, and they bring their money, you know, Lord knows, they bring money.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really expect them to keep coming here so that they can see the twinkling lights from the gated community?
Yeah, well, you know, most people come here to get away from that.
Right.
You know, that's one reason I moved out here, is to get out of the what little bit of hustle, I guess, and bustle you got of these towns. I just don't like it like that. I don't like traffic all hours of the night. And these people that would be, that do come in here, they want to see the wildlife part of this place. They're talking that some of these people come in here, they talk about tourism. Some of these people that come in here rafting come out through here riding bicycles and everything else to see what's out here.
Mm-hmm.
And and I guess everybody's got a right to believe what they want to, but to downtrodden the people for so-called progress and be inconsiderate of that is just that. It's a bunch of a daggone inconsideration from people that's got a little bit of money. If you got the money, you can roughshod over. I've seen this in other countries when I was in the Navy traveling, and our capitalists, or our big boys, our fat cats, whatever you want to call them, have really shown that. I remember we could go in Cuba when I was in the service, and that was before Castro got in.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw what the high rollers come in there and done to those people and how they treated them.
Yeah, like dirt.
Yeah, they were dirt. I've seen them stand back and laugh in groups in their white types or cream-colored suits, throw dimes in that water where the ships were that was floating with waste, and have them diving after, having them kids diving after dimes in it. Yeah, I saw plenty out of them. So I know what the fat cats and the people at big spenders. And on this river already, I have a friend, a real good friend, that was a guide there that hurt his back on it a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, his name is Clayton Casto. He runs Casto Greenhousing. He told me some of the lawyers that come in out of state, how they talk to them girl guides down there. I asked him, I said, why don't you throw them out in the river? And he said, well, he was working for them then, and he couldn't very well do that, but he said that's what he felt like doing. Said he had to, said them guys had that, one of them guides, a girl, crying. And so they offered her $100, you know, act like that was going to be all, make it all right.
Oh,
so that's kind of, you know, far as I'm concerned, and people like it come in here, most of them just trash. We was down there fishing above the shoals, for an example, and here come two women, topless, down through there in a some kind of canoe. And, you know, you it's got, and you round the curve down there, and somebody using the bathroom right in the middle of the road when these toilets down there 50 yards away. And you can't take kids or your wife down there like you used to. So I'm against any of that stuff. I'm not talking from maybe. And some of these guys call in all these hypothetical situations. One guy calls in and says, well, these are going to be out-of-staters, and they won't have no kids. And all this kind of rhetoric, that's all hypothetical stuff. They don't know what kind of people's going to be moving in here.
No, no.
And it could be permanent residents. We got some people that's got money that live here, and they could have one of these homes, or even, you know, people out of Charleston come up on the weekend or whatever. But they just act like this is going to be a vacation place for the wealthy and the rich, playground for the wealthy and the rich. So that's the reason I'm for it. I've already seen it. I don't need little Jeff, boy, to tell me anything.
I understand, Ed. And, you know, I live not too far from the Gauley. And I can go, you know, I can go down to the river, and I see the piles of trash. And, I, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about there. And it makes you, well, there's aspects of it that just feel like you're being violated.
Yeah. Well, I can take you to the Brooklyn Hole down here where we used to fish steady before it almost come a fight just to get in now there. We started fishing at the mouth of Gauley. But I have seen North American, and I'll tell them to their teeth. I saw them throw two big bags of containers, and it floated right in a backup hole across the river on the Sewell side. And we went in there and picked that out of there and brought it out of there.
Yeah.
I saw that. They ain't nobody has to tell me. They don't have any use for anything but that greenback dollar.
Well, and there's an aspect of all of this, Ed, that sort of makes the assumption that, that God's creation was made to give the moneyed class a nice place to live.
Well, I don't have a whole lot of use for the money class anyway. Most of them don't have the compassion or the feeling for the land, for their animals, for the air, for the trees, for the flooding, for the any of the air pollutions or anything that goes on. They do not care about that. And you know what? You just read about some of these people that's made it big, and after they get through and retire, they move off to Scotland or Denmark or somewhere like that, where things are just a lot better.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear that junk about, oh, they'll be this and they won't be any problem. If they cut a road even down below, you know, between this road to Brook, imagine this road out here where I live.
Mm-hmm.
If they cut a road between here and that Brooklyn Canard Road, that's going to split right down the hillside, and they're going to have to take out trees and stuff to do that. And if they don't, they're definitely going to have to take some more land that belongs to me for this. And you know the feeling that I have on that? I'm the guy that paid taxes for 30-some years on this land. Give me my tax money back.
Right.
And the next door neighbor feels the same way. Both of ours circle right around this big curve out here that's on this road. And it just burns me up for some know-it-all to think that they, you know, and they have a right to express their opinion. I'm not going to take that. But don't tell me about mine or where I'm going to be. It's really none of, you know, like he told somebody there one time, it's none of his business where he works.
Mm-hmm.
It's none of his business what I think or what I do or where I'm at. I want him to get that real straight. If that's not straight enough, I'll be glad to explain it to him tomorrow.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to go. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but I'm going to try to, Ed. So I'll come by and say howdy if I do.
Okay. I'll see you there, Bob.
All right. Great. Thanks, Ed.
Bye.
I got a feeling that passions are going to run high on this issue, as well they should. There are people who feel like this is a matter of an attack on their homes. And why should their homes be attacked so that commuter from D.C. can come in here and have a lovely view of the gorge? Because that's why God made it, to give them a lovely view. It's our park. All of our park. And it doesn't need to be spoiled. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the top. It's 9 o'clock.
He's got a brain,
and he's not afraid to use it. Literally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
We are back 5 minutes after 9 o'clock, the final hour of this Monday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And I want to make quick mention the phone number. I should make quick mention of the phone number, 252-6200 locally. Outside beautiful uptown Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Learn it, know it, use it. Listen, seriously, you know, I have some interest in consumer-related stuff. And toward that end, are you following, have you even heard about this business with ChoicePoint? ChoicePoint, the data mining company that keeps information on you and me and everybody else, and they were so careless they allowed themselves to be conned, and they've given up the very, very critical data on some 140,000 Americans and counting. That's names, addresses, phone numbers, social security number, date of birth, all the good stuff you'd need to really rip somebody off nicely. And what makes it even better, you know who ChoicePoint is, right? You remember when you were telling me that Greg Palast was crazy? Because he said that Florida, under the direction of Jeb Bush and Catherine Harris, had scrubbed the voter rolls of some 50,000 black Floridians as felons who had never even been convicted of so much as a parking ticket. Well, that's crazy. That couldn't happen. Guess who was contracted to do that? That's right. ChoicePoint. Same bunch of crooks. And now 140,000 people are going to have their identities stolen, their credit ruined, because of the, what word do you want me to use? Negligence? Gross negligence? Wrong-headedness? Evil? Greed? Pick one. Of ChoicePoint. 140,000 people stand to sue ChoicePoint
But guess what? They can't. Because there are 140,000 Americans in, who knows, all 50 states. And what they would need to do would be to file, that's right, a class action suit. Preferably, well, who knows where? Not anymore. Your Republican Congress and your Republican president, and thank you very much. You know, we need to just get somebody who will gladly admit that they voted for George W. Dopehead to stand up and be the official person that Americans come to when they've been screwed by Republican congressional policies and screwed by this brain-dead Republican president, so that people can come to him and say, thank you, from the bottom of my heart, thank you, my fellow American, for doing this to me with your vote. Thanks a million. Thanks for nothing. Because there won't be any class action suit against Choice Point, because they've been given what Greg Palast referred to as executive clemency. Executive clemency. And it's disgusting. And if you want to, I encourage you to go to gregpalast.com, P-A-L-A-S-T, Greg, you spell the normal way, gregpalast.com. Read his column, Executive Clemency for Executive Killers, and see what this class action killing bill did. Not for you, but to you. Lord, there's a woman waiting to die because of a faulty heart valve replacement. And the product was bad and tended the cracks, the welds on it tended to crack. And the Bush administration just told her, too damn bad, why don't you go die? This is somebody's mother. This is somebody's daughter. This is somebody's mommy, you pro-life repiglicans. Thanks a million. Let's go to the phones. David is with us. Hey, David, your head on. There you are.
Oh, Bob. Geez, what a tough act to follow. You did a fine job of summing that one up. And yes, that little Choice Point thing is nationwide. There are 1,200 of us in the state of Tennessee that are going to get notices that we've been violated. And I hope I don't get a registered letter in a little while telling me to be on the lookout. Oops.
Yeah.
But I really called in about the quality of the previous hour and the quality of the callers.
Oh, go ahead.
Bob, that first fella helped us be reminded of how revealing it is to know George W. Bush and his drug and alcohol proclivities, who he hangs out with, and just it is so curious to me that a man that runs a gay stud service ended up as one of those softball oops. Maybe that was the wrong thing.
There is no right way to deal with this thing. You're going to, don't feel bad. Okay. No matter which way you go, you're going to screw up.
Well, he made sure we knew more about W than we did before, and then later in the hour, another caller revealed himself as just a churlish lout that I'm not sure can read the English language, because he certainly hasn't read much history. And oh, but he's so proud of so many things he should forget about. But the last thing, I have a new hero in terms of a pantheon of Bob callers. I tell you what, to do it metaphorically, if there was a bar fight and I could be shoulder to shoulder with Ed, I would pick the biggest guy on the other side. I'd take all he could give me so that Ed could finish him off in grand style, and I'd buy the whiskey later.
Atta boy.
Ed is my kind of guy.
Well, you know, you've been through this area, David. You know the natural beauty that we're talking about. And
I do indeed. I've driven across that bridge. I've seen a little bit of that. And whether it's clear and sunny, overcast and misty, frosty, it doesn't matter. It really is extremely beautiful country. It's the best the Appalachians have to offer.
And we need to put a gated community on top of it.
And you're going to attract 30-somethings that want to go down a river and feel like they're not looking at the high-tech community they work in, but yet they can see McMansions on the hill with SUVs and who knows what. No, you don't want that.
And, you know, you'll be, and not just that, hey, look, if you study the map, and I know you have, you'll notice that I-79 comes down through West Virginia, and you get off of I-79 onto U.S. 19, and it's a straight shot south. Half of Canada comes through West Virginia every year. Half of it, and they cross that bridge, David, and as they go south, they're going to look off to their left, and they're going to see those McMansions.
We have those McMansions south of Nashville, these $600,000 houses bought by out-of-staters sitting on a yard I could mow in 15 minutes with a walk-behind mower. They think they have found nirvana, and those of us that live here would rather see the Holsteins and the Guernseys walking that glorious rolling greenland as opposed to these badly built McMansions.
Yeah, and again, we know who's going to, well, we don't know. I'm guessing who's going to build them. Pretty good guess. And they're not going to be West Virginia workers. And moreover, you know, you bring something up, David, that's very valid, and that is this idea of growth. I mean, God knows you've seen it. You know, I drive through Nashville when we go home to go to visit, my dad. Used to be my mom, God rest her soul. And I've seen what's happened to Nashville. And it is a shame. And, you know, and it's always described, David, in terms of growth and progress. But you know what? You live with it. It's unrestrained growth, isn't it?
It's sprawl. And sometimes people confuse and laugh at and think that's some kind of hippie, tree-hugging, granola-munching term, but sprawl is what creates two-hour drives to go 5 miles.
Yeah, it is.
Sprawl, and I lived in a part of the country that finally fought back against sprawl. Portland, Oregon has done a lot to concentrate growth, use public transportation, and not let single-family homes on three-quarters of an acre for as far as the eye could see, usually badly built, that will deteriorate and turn into tacky, ugly boxes in 15 to 18 years. You know, they out there finally revolted against that with much effort. And I'm sad to say my hometown, Nashville, has not done that. And you can see it for as far as it's strip malls, it's veneer brick. There are homes that people are paying $500,000 for that aren't even brick. They slap up slabs of brick veneer identical to the material used to make a dadgum McDonald's.
Ugh.
Somebody writes a check for 600 large and thinks they've arrived.
Well, and again, sprawl, unrestrained progress, unrestrained growth. Just by analogy, inside the human body, David, inside the human body, when you have unrestrained growth, what do we call it?
Well, let's see. There's avarice. There's gluttony. There's
no. I mean, inside the human body, on a physical tissue level.
Oh, bloating. How about that?
How about cancer?
Well, that's yeah. All right, you went all the way. I was just tiptoeing up on intermediate steps.
I mean, so you know, let's understand what we're talking about when we're talking about all this miraculous growth that we've got to have. We're talking about cancer. And, you know, can you use that analogy when you think about the brand spanking, sparkling new Walmart that goes in? Cancer.
Of course it is.
And these shabby little $500,000 homes, if you want to call them homes, cancer. And for those of us who live up here, you know, I too have been around the block. I am a West Virginian by choice. Granted, my genetic makeup has been here for about 250 years or so, but I came back. I wasn't born here. I wanted to be here. And as a result, part of the reason I wanted to be here, David, and I'm sorry I'm talking on your nickel like this, but I lived in Atlanta, and I love Atlanta. But I would stand on my balcony at night, and all I could hear was the constant rush. It was like living next to a river, only not.
Oh, rivers don't give off CO2.
Yeah, or SO2 either. And all I could hear was the constant of millions and millions and millions of automobiles on the interstate a few miles from my home. And then there were the mornings when I was trying to sleep in off a midnight shift, and one of the fighter jets would come in and land at Dobbins Air Force Base, and he would be, you know, maybe 150, 200 feet over my head when he did it. And, you know, that'll bring you up out of a sound sleep pretty quick. Hit the deck! So I know that stuff. And we live here because we like it the way it is to a certain extent. There are a lot of inconveniences to being a West Virginian.
Oh, it's not just a simple thing. It really is a lifestyle. I'm sure you had to make, if I can reinforce the point personally, when your daughter fell ill, the hospital probably wasn't a quarter of a mile from where you live.
No. That's a half a mile. That's a half an hour away.
There we have it. So yes, there were choices that you acknowledged. There were things that you did, but the payoff is you would like it to be something along the lines of what you moved there for, and you don't want to see it raped with a bunch of ugly houses by people that don't even come close to your care for the area.
No, and this the company that wants to build these McMansions isn't even a West Virginia company. These are a bunch of out-of-state Georgians, and they're not going to bring anything good. Nothing good is going to come of this. People can talk about, oh, we're going to have a huge tax base. No, we're not. Somebody will make a concession somewhere. They'll find a way to get around it. The school system in this county, in my county, is a wreck. And we're going to dump more kids? This is not a whole bunch of retired people. These might be 30-somethings, like you said. And they're, by God, going to want services for their 600 large.
The ugliest aspect of this is that the prettiest parts of America are almost always economically depressed, always difficult to do commerce in the prettiest, in the natural sense, areas. The eastern part of Oregon and Washington, beautiful high desert, unimaginable beauty, can't make a living out there. So what do? You go out there after you've made millions, and you rape it by putting a huge estate somewhere and putting a gate around it and anger the locals. There's always a punishing economic need by the most beautiful of areas. And I fear that's your circumstance.
No, I think we're smack dab in the middle of it. And what scares me is these people who, they're going to buy, you know, this is the people that are going to be in favor of this development, in large part, David, are the same people who are going to be in favor of the Walmart. And they're going to be seduced by that siren song of progress and jobs. You know, there's not going to be any new jobs come out of this Walmart. It's going to be the.
Is there another Walmart thing going on?
They took a setback because the circuit judge said, played a little fast and loose with the public comment rules, so he's put the kibosh on it temporarily.
Where's it supposed to be?
You know where the Pancake House is?
In Florida.
Yeah, you drove by it in in Fayetteville.
Okay.
Across the road from that. On 19, where dead guys from the Civil War are buried. Walmart wants to...
So you can have more people on whatever assisted medical care system you have there, the highest number of, we call it TEN care in the state of Tennessee, and we're having to abandon it because it's cost us so much money. The largest number of people by any identifying marker on TEN care are Walmart employees in the state of Tennessee, because you have to work, what is it, 2 years before you get any medical coverage?
Well, if you're a part-timer, you have to work 2 years, and then you can't afford the medical coverage.
Right. Well, by any identifying marker, the greatest number of people in the state of Tennessee on TEN care are Walmart employees. That's by race, creed, color, age group, affliction. It doesn't matter. More Walmart employees are on the help the lowest of the low get by medical coverage. Well, those sorts of folks, that means that whatever process you have there to help the uninsured, well, that's going to grow tremendously.
Yep.
You're going to have the lowest wage. They're going to be on part-time. If it ever looks like they might go on full-time, something will happen to their evaluation, and they might not be as happy at work because they'll be ginned around by management.
Right.
Welcome to Walmart.
Low prices every day.
Getting lower, more suppliers, more employees being screwed to the wall.
Racing to the bottom. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I can't look at that stupid little smiley face without seeing Satan's horns popping out of the top of it.
Ugh. You know, I just want to get the Elvis gun and blow up the TV.
Yeah, you and John Prine, man.
Exactly.
Blow up your TV.
Well, Bob, once again, I appreciate the chance to just go crazy, and I hope Ed's listening, because if it ever starts, I can be shoulder to shoulder. I'm with it.
I understand. Ed's good people. Thanks so much, David.
The very best.
Take care.
You bet.
Yeah, we don't know the real cost of any of the garbage that we buy at Walmart, because, you know, we're subsidizing their health care. You know, and I'm all for poor folks. Yeah, I believe in universal health care. But I don't feel a moral obligation to support Walmart through my tax dollars. I got kids in school. We need to, look, dig it. 3,000 people died at work during the early business hours of September 11th, 2001. And the world was shocked and horrified. Now, a question. How many died in the Eccles Mine disaster? How many died at Buffalo Creek? How many died when the Bull Moose Special roared through the coal camps of the New River Fields? How many died at Mate 1? How many died, and, you know, I think we're nearing the mark now, digging the Hawk's Nest Tunnel. How many hundreds of human beings died a couple of weeks ago somewhere in godforsaken China because they're desperate to keep up with the energy needs of a country that's busy making all of America's fireworks and little plastic cake decorations and shoes and shirts and pants and boxers and bras and panties and skirts and bikinis and pantyhose and... Hell, China even makes our blow-up dolls. Meanwhile, idiots like the Savage Wiener sit around sniffling about, you know, our border. When poor idiot doesn't even realize our border's in Sichuan province. Our border is in Sichuan province, and a picture of Chairman Mao looks over the workers who are chained to the tables there. These godforsaken Republicans think America's doing great so long as the insurance companies aren't complaining too much and their children aren't the ones fighting the war. And on the nights they go out for Chinese, they complete the circle. They dress entirely in Chinese-made garb. They get in their Japanese or German SUV, and they drive to a chain restaurant whose menu reads the same in China as it does in Beckley. By the way, and this is just me, when's the last time you heard George W. Pothead say, "Buy American"? Hmm? Really, search your mind. When is the last time you heard George W. Bush encourage America to buy the goods that their fellow Americans manufacture? Take your time. You know, let's do talk about terrorism. Let's do talk about threats. Oh, let's do. And since we're doing all that, by definition, Let's talk about Republicans. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. More of your phone calls after the bottom of the hour break. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Three children who died in that Kanawha County fire have now been identified. Andre Walker lost two of his three children in a fire early yesterday morning on the west side of Charleston. Daughter Addison Neely was 7, son Andre was 4. Charleston police say 7-year-old Nolan Neely survived, but was being treated for severe burns at Shriners Hospital, Cincinnati. Walker was badly burned while attempting to rescue his children. He was taken to a Pittsburgh hospital. Later yesterday morning, 17-month-old Tyler Whitehead died in a South Charleston apartment. Captain Bill Peterson of the South Charleston Fire Department says Tyler's father, mother, and her two older children escaped the fire. Meanwhile, a collision between a South Charleston police cruiser and a fire truck Sunday morning. The fire truck headed toward that fire. That accident has left several people injured. The accident occurred just before noon at the corner of Ford Street and Tennessee Avenue. Both vehicles were traveling toward that South Charleston fire. The police cruiser was coming down Tennessee Avenue the wrong way. When the vehicle came through the intersection, it collided with the South Charleston fire engine. The fire engine flipped on its side. The cruiser spun around and clipped a utility pole. About 15 women spent the night in Sneed's Vacuum and Sewing Center, Charleston, for the retailer's third Friday night sewing lock-in. The first lock-in was last May after a group of women talked co-owner Regina Sneed into doing it. The participants had from 6 p.m. Friday to 6 a.m. Saturday to work on projects they've meant to finish or new projects they've meant to start. There would be no guilty feelings about not washing dishes, buying groceries, or watching television with a husband. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. This evening, showers, possible thunderstorms. Later tonight, then, a chance of drizzle and rain showers after midnight. Also some fog tonight, too, with a low near 35. And then tomorrow, partly cloudy to mostly cloudy with a high near 50. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Ladies, the clock has been reset and the slate is wiped clean. Is this the year you find true love? Because if you really want to find, you've got to be willing to seek. And the best place to start your search is Cupid.com. Even if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, Cupid's AutoMatch helps you find guys with your favorite traits and qualities. Basic memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from Gold members, a service you usually pay for at other sites. But the greatest thing about Cupid.com is their local focus. They bring you together with people who live close by, people who can actually be there for you. All you've got to do is go to Cupid.com and browse their pictures and personals with complete anonymity, whether it's online or at one of their fun local events. When Cupid.com helps you seek, true love is what you find.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Born with a rare birth defect, Elena had little chance of ever walking until her family found help and hope at a Shriners Hospital. Today, Elena is an unstoppable 6-year-old. Shriners combine expert orthopedic, spinal cord, and burn medical care with world-class research and teaching programs, and there's never a charge. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
WWNR Beckley.
Hi, I'm Warren Eckstein with today's pet tip. You know, more and more people are looking for veterinarians that will come and take care of their pet at home. Let's face it, sometimes it's a lot easier, especially for routine visits. Our pets are not thrilled about going to the vet to start with unless you followed my advice and have taken them there when they're not getting a visit just so they associate it with something positive. But if you have an older dog or older cat, you might want to check with your vet or with the local veterinary medical association to see if there are veterinarians that do come to the home. Also, when the final day comes and you have to say goodbye to your best friend, some people don't want that final goodbye to be on a cold metal table in some office that your cat or dog doesn't like anyway. More and more veterinarians around the country will come to your home for that final goodbye so that your cat or your dog may have the dignity that he lived with when you do say that final goodbye to your pet. So think about it. If you have trouble getting your pet to the vet, see if there's a vet in your area that may come to you. It'll make you feel a lot more comfortable, and we know how your pet will feel. I'm Warren Eckstein.
With all the recent news about prescription medications, a lot of my friends are concerned about what to take for arthritis pain. I'm not. I'm doing what my doctor told me to do years ago. Take Aleve. He said the active ingredient in Aleve has been trusted by doctors for all-day relief for nearly 30 years. Aleve really works, but don't take my word for it. Ask your doctor if Aleve is right for you.
Aleve, prescription strength relief without a prescription. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Kings bowed to him. Emperors fled from him. Even wild horses knelt before him. There's a reason they didn't call him Alexander the Timid. Alexander the Great, a great warrior, an even greater story. Film on location this Sunday night at 8, 7 Central, as only the History Channel can bring you.
Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're here with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, when it comes to lawn care in the winter, it never seems like there's enough I can do to fill my time. Got any ideas for a winter weather project?
It can be tough to find ways to stay busy during the winter, but John Deere suggests getting involved in your local area's environment.
That sounds like a good idea, but where would I start?
Well, many communities offer programs like stream cleanups that help beautify local waterways. And these activities make for great family and school projects. Adopting a stream not only brings people together, but also works to preserve and protect one of our greatest natural resources. So find out what programs are available in your area and get your feet wet, Diane.
Thanks, Bill. I'll check into some opportunities today, as long as I have a nice toasty fireplace to come home to. Tune in next time to Green and Growing for more tips from John Deere.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Only about 25 minutes left in this Monday night edition, and we've been all over the place. I think it's safe to say that President Pothead has led the way. President Dope. President Sinsemilla. But there is other stuff out there, and I'm going right back to the phones, I promise. A little boy drowned last week. You know, 18 years old, that's still a little boy. West Virginia little boy. Little West Virginia boy who wrote letters home to his daddy telling him what a horrible mistake he'd made, drowned last week. Drowned in a swimming pool. Drowned in a swimming pool after a sadist had grabbed him. Drowned in a swimming pool after a sadist had busted him with a forearm. Drowned in a swimming pool with other people watching him drown. He drowned for his country. We've been had. We've been conned. We've been taken for a gaggle of terrified fools. And by that I mean this all-volunteer military. Yeah, some volunteer. What a lark. What a sucker job. What a delightfully devious little way to make the same people who would have been drafted in the first place feel like they were agreeing to die of their own free will. I mean, what a truly ingenious way to keep Buffy and Muffy and Trip and Skip from ever having to follow the colors.
Those poor people want to be in the military. That's why they're there. See, they're volunteering. They want to go to college if they don't die. That's their job now, defending the money, the country. Aren't you proud of them, Barbie? Aren't you proud of them, Jenny? Of course you are. Here, smoke this. You'll see Jesus for sure.
Thanks, Dad. Hail to the chief.
Never. Look at it. Never in recorded history has a society succeeded by virtue of a so-called professional military. Most of those societies have gone down in flames or been subsumed by an even more militaristic killer culture. Sparta comes to mind, you know, rapidly gobbled up by Alexander, a gay guy who conquered the world but caught a nasty cold in Babylon and wound up sitting on the banks of the Euphrates crying because there were no lands left to conquer, even though he'd quit the field with half of Asia still in his front. Oh, well. Hey, Germany had a professional military. And the world has never seen a more stylish military than the Wehrmacht. Yeah, I know, you're mad at me, like I care. My kids got mad at me when I explained to them what goes on the Carnival Midway, too. You know, the first thing you feel after you realize you've been conned is usually anger. That's a good thing. That's healthy. But I'm just curious, how many senators' sons died in Vietnam? Now, how many senators' sons or daughters are even in Iraq? How many presidents' daughters are in Iraq? Bingo! Same number in both cases. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Zip. None, you rubes. None. You win the booby prize. Changed? Not a damn thing. Right now, somewhere in middle America, some good-for-nothing, cowardly, useless punk is blithely sliding through a college on a management degree and telling his round-heeled girlfriend what a great general he might have made if only Daddy would have let me join the all-volunteer army. And at the same time thanking God Almighty every day that there isn't a real draft that might put his cozy hindquarters at risk. You know my solution? Here it is. I want a universal draft. Universal. Because, you see, I know these people who pass for the government of the people will find a way to make slaughterhouse functionaries of my babies. I guess that's the price I pay for not making $15 million a year. I guess that's the price my lovely wife pays for not having the common good sense to marry a Republican millionaire. I want a universal draft. I want everyone subject to it. But I want it really unfair. I want the richest people in America to have to register their children for this draft before they're even allowed to have offspring. I want their children born saluting. I want America's most well-off to fulfill the ancient promise the rich have ever made to almost every society. By God, I want them to lead. And not from the rear. Oh, no, 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 sunshine. Not from the rear. I want them in the front lines with big, bright uniforms and shiny sabers in the air, leading the poor people on to victory. I want an American military that is truly as democratic as the ideals we're so good at talking about. I want an American military that bleeds more blue than it does red. I want the hemophiliac sons of coal barons leading incredibly courageous charges into hopeless situations that will inspire poets for generations. I want weeping millionaire mommies demanding, damn it, that their son's coffin be shown on TV when it comes home. I want to see the caviar and canapes crowd leading anti-war demonstrations in front of the White House. We poor never had a nickel to his name, Jesus. Can you imagine the outcry about this filthy Iraq war if Bush mothers had to grieve? If Mama Scalia had to see her son without his head? If Mammy Frist had to handle that triangle-shaped flag? If good Christian Mother DeLay had to welcome home a box full of what used to be the sweet life that once passed between her loins? Here's the short answer. There would be no war. There would be no dead. There would be no army if it was left up to the rich. Because the rich are cowards, and they beget cowards, who 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 become the dope-smoking president of the United States of America. Who send poor people, the real heroes, off to die. And who never see the tears and never see the coffins, and never hear the anguished cries. Remember, a hero dies but once. Coward? But enough about me. Let's go to the phones. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
You know, an eye for an eye just makes an optometrist a very wealthy man.
That's right. An eye for an eye and the whole world goes blind.
Yeah. First off, I want to say I want to wish Ed all the luck in the world tomorrow.
Thanks.
I truly do. You and I have been talking a while about me being able to come up here and see beautiful West Virginia, and one of these days I will. And when I do, I don't want to see a bunch of
McMansions
sitting up there. I don't want to see that.
No. It's not going to, if this thing comes in, it's not going to be worth seeing.
No. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that. I've seen that too much. I've seen that way too much in too many places.
Well, you know, Chris, there's an acronym that's floating around out and about. I learned it from my friends down in the Coal River area, NIMBY. And it describes so much, not in my backyard.
Yeah.
And people tend not to get upset until it is in their backyard. Well, guess what?
It's in their backyard.
These McMansions are in my backyard.
Yeah.
And what West Virginians don't understand, it's in all of our backyard.
And like Ed said, he's been paying the property tax on that for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I truly, from the bottom of my heart, wish you all the luck in the world. I hope to goodness that you can, you and people just like you can win out over this. I don't want that to happen. I really
don't. we've got a little learning curve to traverse, Chris, and we're going to have to find the courage to stand up and look at those county commissioners, and I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans or anarcho-syndicalist commies, you know, whatever.
Or family members.
Yeah, and we look at them and we say, listen very carefully. You need to ask yourself a question. Do I enjoy being county commissioner? Do I want to be county commissioner again?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
If you sign off on this plan for these 2,200 McMansions, we will bust our hump to see to it that you never enjoy the public trust again, that you are voted out at our earliest convenience, and we will work for it.
Also ask them how many times have they got like a little briefing or whatever from the chief of police of Bedley and the surrounding areas on all the terrible drug use and the kids, you know, the teenagers around there.
Mm-hmm.
And ask them if they've had any trouble with ecstasy in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and you know where I'm going.
Yes, I do.
If one of their sons or daughters comes back from Iraq, what they used to call shell shock,
mm-hmm.
they're prescribing ecstasy for them.
Yes, they are.
The next time they want to arrest somebody for ecstasy, let them just say that, hey, I'm in the American military, and you can't bust me.
I can have all of it I want because I got PTSD.
All of it I want.
Yep, you're right. You're absolutely right. And everything seems to dovetail some nights, Chris, and this is one of them, I guess. You know, the guys come home from Iraq, they got PTSD, they scream in their sleep. We're gonna give them some ecstasy.
I would love to hear these wonderful veterans that call your show discuss this.
And you're not being sarcastic. I've got some wonderful veterans.
I know. I've listened to them, and I have utmost respect for them. And I'd love to hear these brave men, and they are brave men. Talk about this. I mean, this has just got to just, from all they've seen, and I wish to goodness they hadn't had to see it.
Yeah.
There was no reason. A lot of times there was no reason for our veterans to see what they did. A lot of times these wars were, there was really no reason for them. Now, World War II is a different story.
Yeah, well, war was declared on us. That was a defensive war.
But I'll tell you, it just, I think I'm going to stop calling this administration.
Call it a regime. Call it a junta. Call it a coup d'etat. It's all of those.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
You know,
I just cannot believe.
I know.
You know, the not in our backyard, not in our name.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe, I mean, every single day that I get up and I read online the press, I just cannot, every single day, there's just something to hit you like a sledgehammer.
Right between the eyes. I mean,
between the eyes, and you just...
You feel like a cow at the slaughterhouse.
And you feel, you know, like people used to say, well, I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to write a letter. You know, I'm not even sure that's going to help anymore.
You know, and the thing is, you sit down to write that letter, Chris, and it's the printed equivalent of watching what happens when Yosemite Sam loses his blue nose, not full black stag, and it's all that comes out. And you know, at the bottom, you know, what's wrong with you?
And at the end, while you're writing that letter, you don't know it for sure, but you're pretty sure that once you get to the end of that letter, it's already out of date.
Yeah, well, I mean, this, and it's one of the frustrations of doing this show, Chris. I want to, you know, I want to grab hold of a subject and hammer on it for a couple of days.
Yeah.
I can't because there's
too much.
There's something new that's on fire.
It's just too much.
And it makes you a little crazy after a while. I'm not even done with this so-called tort reform. Class action law that was passed and signed.
Goodness.
You know, what are we going to say? No, not we. I absolve myself of this, as do you, I'm sure, Chris.
Yeah.
What is Congress? What is Congressman DeLay going to say to the people who had their identities stolen because Choice Point was keeping them on an insecure computer?
An unrelated thing, I noticed online today that somebody got into Paris Hilton's cell phone or something and got the number of all these celebrities and people and posted them on the internet and people were calling their houses and stuff. Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
How would you like, you know, how would somebody like, how would, you know, anybody like their phone number on the internet and a bunch of people go, you know what, I'm just going to call Bob up.
Yeah.
I'm going to call Bob about 50 times today. And tomorrow I'm going to call him 100 because tomorrow I'm off work.
Well, you know, the one credit card commercial where the little old lady's talking with the redneck guy's voice?
Yeah.
You know, got me a brand new truck. That's going to happen 140,000 times thanks to Choice Point. Business partners with, the state of Florida, Catherine Harris, Jeb Bush.
But, Bob, you got to think about one thing, though. Someone steals someone's identity. Not only that person that steals the identity is making money off that, but also got the credit card companies that are going to make money off that. There's a whole sling of people that's going to make money off that. And if it's bad enough, if they still can under the laws that the Republicans changed about filing bankruptcy, they'll file bankruptcy, it's going to be even worse.
Yeah,
it's not just, you know, if you can't pay your light bill, that all you lose is your power.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
This.
I know. Let it go. Let it go. You want to just run outside and scream at the night.
I do, and it's been raining and storming all day long, and I'll catch a cold, so I don't,
no,
don't
you don't need that. What are we supposed to do?
You know, I really don't know.
I mean, do we write thank you letters to Tom DeLay and Chris Cox and Senator McConnell and, you know, what?
You know, if my Mets report was what I would call legitimate, if I actually had the budget to go out and travel like some of these reporters and dig up stories, I have a sneaking suspicion that I would pretend I would play the role like De Niro as a conservative journalist. I would make all these conservatives, Republicans, believe that I was one of them. Oh, the things they would tell me.
Oh, yeah. Things you didn't even want to know.
Things I didn't even want to know, they would tell me. If I was, you know, can you imagine what these people on the Hill tell Bob Novak that doesn't get printed?
Oh,
can you imagine what Bob Novak knows?
Oh, sure. And, you know, CIA agents' names.
Yeah.
Well, he slipped up on that one.
The name just won.
Yeah.
There is no talent But if they see Greg Palast, they go, hey, so,
yeah,
you know who he is, don't you?
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons, Chris, I feel like we... I felt like I'd been punched in the gut when I saw that Hunter Thompson was dead.
I tell you, Bob.
Because we lost something more than just, you know, some cranky old man who used dirty words and drugs.
I tell you, I flipped on the television the day for the... I had to turn the computer off because we had some pretty bad storms and stuff here today. And so I turned the television on to go to the Weather Channel and stuff to see what kind of storm we had. And I flip CNN, which I don't do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
No spin zone. Yeah, right.
Conservative news network.
Yeah. And I saw that Hunter had died, and there was just a brief mention, and then it went off. I tell you, I just broke down. I just couldn't handle it. Because I grew up reading Hunter. And like you said, we lost a whole lot more than a celebrity. What a lot of people thought of Hunter.
Yeah.
All you have to do is read his book, Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail, 1972.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, that book inspired me to write the reports, the blog or whatever that I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
The man was an extraordinary writer, extraordinary journalist. He believed, and he stood by his convictions. He was a Southern gentleman.
Yeah.
First and foremost, from Kentucky. And He was a pretty poor guy, but he grew up around all the blue bloods in Kentucky. Praise a good man, he terrorized the crap out of him.
Yeah.
But he was a serious journalist. We lost a whole lot more than just when the going gets weird. The weird term, bro. We lost a whole lot more than that.
Yeah. We lost a lot more than we were on the outskirts of Barstow when the drugs kicked in.
Kyle sent me an email today after I sent him that poem and said, this is backcountry.
Yeah.
And sent me this great picture that I've got already of Hunter shooting one of his typewriters.
Right, and there's nothing worse than a 300-pound Samoan lawyer in the depths of an ether binge. And it's funny. I've laughed more at Hunter S. Thompson's writings than just about anybody else in the modern era.
And then you read the Oscar Acosta stuff, and you think, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, it was just...
Well, I mean, I've been turned into a raging paranoid by our political times. Did you know that he was next-door neighbors with Bandar Bush?
Yeah, I sure did.
And, you know, they say it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound, didn't say what kind of gun. You know, somehow I can't imagine him shooting himself. Hemingway? Well, yeah, I can do that.
Well,
Hunter, not so much.
My wife and I were talking about this today, and I have a sneaking suspicion we're going to find out in about a week or two. I don't know this for sure, but I have a sneaking suspicion that he was either in the beginning stages of Alzheimer's or cancer or something he just didn't want to live with.
Yeah.
I know this is the last photograph I've seen of him. He looked a little different.
Yeah.
And I just have to imagine that he just, a man who's had so much control, you know, over his life, I don't think he wanted to live with that.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess in our modern world, we tend to look at 67 as still kind of young.
Yeah, we do. And a friend of mine, he writes very nice political stuff named Jack Random. He has a website, jackrandom.com. He wrote me and said that he had already posted my points.
That way, and that was beautiful stuff, too.
Yeah, like an hour after I wrote it, he had posted on his website. But I wrote Jack, I said, you know, thanks for posting it, but, you know, it was not a romantic death. There's nothing romantic in suicide.
No.
But you have to wonder sometimes if you're going to suffer a terrible illness, reach that age. You know, I used to...
There's a certain honesty in some of that.
Yeah, I used to make kind of poke fun of my grandparents when they were together with their friends. And some of your callers I know, Ed probably can go along with this. A lot of their friends, you know, well, so-and-so is in the hospital. And I went to so-and-so's funeral last month, and I got another friend that's not doing so good. Or I have a friend that his wife or the husband or whatever has passed on, and they're alone, and they're just so unhappy. You know, but there's also the idea that, you know, we gotta live this life all the way to the end if it was.
No dress rehearsals, Chris. Hey, we got it. We got to go. We're out of time.
Bobby,
thanks, Chris.
Great show tonight.
Thanks.
And good luck tomorrow.
Thanks. All right. The show tonight, of course, produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Sky, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are.